Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
First of all, let me be clear. It played no role in it at all. I have a lot of confidence in Tua, and I think, you know, the next head coach will work with him or whoever else, but I have a lot of confidence in him. I watched him grow. I think he's a fine young man, and, you know, he is right now the quarterback and will be dependent upon the new head coach, but I have a lot of confidence in Tua. Well, I think if you look at our roster, we have a very fine, I think, an excellent roster of young players. This was all, you know, done in the last 3 years. We had a old aging roster before that was leading us nowhere but to mediocrity. And I think that if you look at our roster today, and you see our salary cap and the players we have, I think we're well suited for the future. I mean, we're going to look for the best man. You know, certainly having the experience always helps. But I'm sure, you know, if we believe we find somebody that's exceptional, that's been a coordinator or in some other position in football, I certainly, you know, would look at that, you know, very seriously. But our mind is open. We're just looking for someone that can work together in taking this roster and taking it to its next level.
That was the owner of the Miami Dolphins, Stephen Ross, yesterday talking to the media about the firing of Brian Flores. To talk more about that, on the line right now is Odyssey NFL Insider and our buddy Michael Lombardi. Insider calls brought to you by Driveway.com. Looking for a car? Go to Driveway.com where you can get pre-qualified, buy a car, and get it delivered. You can also hear Michael on the GM Shuffle, his weekly podcast available on the Odyssey app. Michael, good morning. Thanks for coming on the show. What did you think about the crazy morning we had yesterday and the talk around the country about Brian Flores being let go?
You know, certainly surprised. I think, you know, I thought Brian had done a really good job. I think he orchestrated an offense around a quarterback that, you know, doesn't throw the ball down the field, doesn't have a powerful arm, and, you know, is limited. I mean, they're limited with the offensive line. They're limited with the quarterback. And I think to win nine games with that roster, it was really pretty impressive, especially coming back from where, you know, they started the season with the losses, and beating Bill Belichick four straight times is not some kind of easy task. So I was surprised by the decision Stephen Ross in the front office made. On the other hand, it doesn't, because oftentimes in the NFL, you know, collaboration and making everybody happy becomes more important than actually trying to find a way to win.
Mike, I got to ask you this one, because a lot of our fan base upset that Chris Greer still has a job at general manager. What are your thoughts and the role he probably played in this? Because I do want to get into head coach and general manager relationships, but your thought on the work that Chris Greer's done during this two-year rebuild that we've done?
Well, I mean, look, I don't know. You know, you could just hear from Stephen as he was talking that the time and the pauses in between some of the answers led you to believe that he wasn't fully on board with his answers. So I think the reality of this is you know, Chris picked the wrong quarterback. You know, he got at first at bat and he picked Tua over Herbert. Now, I don't know the inner workings of the organization, so I don't know if Flores decided that he wanted Tua over Herbert. I don't know that. No one does, you know, but I do think Ross, in his press release, what he indicated in his press release was pretty clear that, you know, he was tired of, his organization was tired of dealing with a coach who was very strong in opinion and wanted everybody to work for him and was demanding. And he wanted a more collaborative, softer edge to his organization. And I think that's what he's gotten. And that's the reality of it all. And for Chris, you know, Chris is probably an honest guy. He knows that that offensive line that he drafted isn't good enough. And he knows that, you know, the quarterback that he selected, no matter what anybody wants to say in the media, isn't as good as the one he passed up.
Yeah, no question. By the way, not even up for debate. No question.
That's not debatable. I mean, now you've got people out there. I mean, you've got people out there. I work at VSiN every day, a Vegas Stats and Information Network. We have people that host shows on ours that think he's a top 12 quarterback. I mean, they're blind, but they do, you know, and it's not debatable. But, you know, there's a part of the Twitter universe that actually thinks, you know, Tua is really a good player, because that's what they think. Just like they think that Brendan Staley going for it on fourth and one at his own 18 was a brilliant idea. Sometimes you just can't you can't let people see logic, because they don't even understand that they're so far out of the race. They actually think they're in the lead.
So you got to help me out on this one, because knowing Chris Greer a little bit and talking to him about this topic, so he goes, I'll never pick a player that my head coach doesn't like, because we got to work together. I want to make sure he's comfortable with it. But at the same time, doesn't a general manager have to be a general manager when it comes to certain decisions being made at some point? Like, I've listened to everybody, but this is, I feel strongly about this, that this guy can help us win or no.
Yeah, no, I think you got to. I think, look, it's you know, when I was with Belichick, I would say that we probably, you know, maybe disagreed when we were together in Cleveland, and even when I went back with him in New England, we probably disagreed on about three or four players, and that was it. Because philosophically, we were aligned. It started with a philosophy. So, you know, and that was the most important thing to what we did. So, yeah, no, I agree. If you're the general manager and you're in control of the personnel, you know, you've got to be able to convince the coach that what you're seeing, he's got to see it. It can't be that complicated. Like, just put it up on a blackboard. We're going to take a shorter quarterback with a weaker arm who doesn't run as fast over a quarterback who's got a gun, who's 6 feet six, who throws it down the field. Like, let's just talk this through.
Right.
Like, let's talk this through. Like, you know, it's not, we're not talking rocket science here. We're talking about player evaluation.
Yeah, I guess. And then the follow up, because this is what I think caps, this is one of my theories on what happened. So now Chris Greer's meeting with people over the top of him in the organization. They go, what the hell? And he goes, well, it wasn't my first choice, but that's what Coach Flores wanted. And I felt, you know, I needed to do what he wanted. You think those type of things go on as well?
I think what happened was, I think that the organization, I think it was almost a coup. I think the organization didn't really appreciate Brian's style, his abrasiveness, his brutal honesty, and I think it became an unfriendly place to work, and I think that affected Steven, who wants to have collaboration, who wants everybody feeling involved. And, you know, and as I've said many times, the NFL is not the Dave Clark Five. I mean, it's got to be a paramilitary organization. It's got to start from the top down. And, you know, when you start using words like collaboration and, you know, all those things, and the organization's happy, you're going to start losing. I can promise you, you're going to start losing. The Bears, you know, before the season started, they put out a whole video about how they love their collaborating methods and how they're all that. Yeah, look where they are right now.
Right. Everybody's out
Michael,
of a job.
Could this be as simple as, you know, because we've seen this before from Brian Flores when Josh Rosen was traded here. He had him in and basically came out and said, I've seen enough. I'm going with Ryan Fitzpatrick. Josh Rosen's not our guy. Could this just be the fact that he's seen enough with Tua, wanted Deshaun Watson? That wasn't what Chris Greer selected, and that's where all of this kind of stemmed from. Is it possible that quarterback situation, and not just with the Herbert stuff, but I'm saying with Deshaun Watson and how it led into the trade deadline last year when guys were salty and not talking to the media, then could that have been the deciding factor in all this now, once the season's done, that could have been where the biggest divide was between those two?
I don't think it was one thing. I think it was all a bunch of things. And I think that Brian is very strong in his beliefs, and Brian's not afraid to tell somebody you're no good, you know? And I think,
I think he may have been abrasive with people, and that as a collection becomes a problem. And then I think Steven, who lives in, you know, he's in New York, he's not in the building every day, he's listening to people, and he's like, well, I can't get the coach to do this, the coach is, you know, all of a sudden a bunch of people start talking like that, and then he realizes, well, I got to get rid of the, if I want a collaborative organization, I got to get rid of the coach. But my question to Steven is, where are you going to find a better coach than Brian Flores?
Right.
Where are you going to find a better coach than him?
Great question.
Like, you could say, I don't really care what the, you know, the assistants, well, he's working us too hard. You know, it's a tough place to work. It's very challenging. Okay, I get all that, right? And maybe it is. Maybe it was a tough place to work. But if you're trying to make the assistants happy over making the head coach happy, something's wrong.
Michael, I wanted to ask you this question. It's obvious, and you can look at the roster, the amount of talent on defense versus the amount of talent on offense. Outside of Jaylen Waddle, we start to run out of names offensively. What are your thoughts on how that happens when you look at all the good, young, talented players they have defensively?
Well, I think they're good on offense, Joe. I mean, Parker's, when he's healthy, he's a good player, right? Gesicki's a really good player. He's a nightmare matchup. I mean, they're a problem for New England because they have really good players that catch the ball in yards after the catch. And New England's big linebackers can't tackle in space as well. And so, you know, they need a running back. There's no denying that. But I think the biggest fault on their offense is the offensive line of the quarterback. I mean, they can't stretch the field. They can't play from behind. One of the reasons they've beaten New England is they've always played from in front of New England because New England's never gotten the lead on them. So I do think they have some – they got to fix the line. The line's horrible, right? Yes. They got to fix that. Defensively, I think they're close. You know, they've got some really good players. That they've got some good young talent. I thought the defensive line played better this season. So, look, to me, they're at 9-8 with a quarterback that doesn't throw the ball down the field, that is not able to make explosive plays, that you have to run this RPO scheme. It limits you. I mean, they've admitted it as much. I mean, you know, they admitted it. Look, if they get behind in the down and distance, it's hard. And so I think, to me, that's the issue. Like most teams that are 9-8, usually it comes down to not having a good enough quarterback.
I saw you had Jim Caldwell as don't be surprised. You think that could happen? That could be a guy on top of the list?
Here's what I know. The NFL is always about hiring. The next hire is always about what the opposite of what you just had, right? When you've had somebody who was more of a dictator and demanding from people, you're going to come in with somebody softer, nicer, collaborative. And Jim's a wonderful man. He's won in the National Football League. You know, he had Detroit going in the right direction until they fired him. So I could see Jim fitting perfectly to replacing the contrast of Flores. And I heard from somebody in the league yesterday, look, you know, he's going to be a strong candidate in Miami.
Wow.
Michael, do you think the firings are done, the wave's done, or do you think there's still more to go in the next couple of days?
I don't think Joe Judge is – I don't know how Joe Judge could be safe in New York. You know, how do you hire a new general manager and say that Joe Judge has done a good – I mean, how does that new GM walk in there and say, well, you know, I'm really impressed with your coach?
Right.
How do you do that?
Right.
How do you do that? You know, I like Joe. Joe's a friend, and I'm just being candid here. I mean, Joe hasn't done a good job. I mean, his team's gotten worse, and – you know, he could talk, and his conversations to the media are strange. Here's the reality of the New York Football Giants. During their worst era, Joe, and you can probably remember this, when the miracle of the Meadowlands happened in 1978, the Giants and the Eagles were both – the Eagles were 6-5, the Giants were 5-6. They were building something. That miracle of the Meadowlands, Pisarcik fumbled to Larry Zonka,
that's right,
caused a disaster, right? During those 5 years, from 78 to 74, their winning percentage was 27%. Today, in the last 5 years, their winning percentage was 28%. Today, in the last 5 years, their win percentage is 27%. This is the worst 5 years of Giant football in the history of the great franchise. So I don't know how they could sit there and say they're on the right track. I mean, when you're lost, even if you're making good time, you're still lost.
Let me ask you this Deshaun Watson thing, because a lot of people think it's still going to pop up here in town. Where's the interest, and where do you stand on Deshaun Watson as we get ready to start a new football year after the playoffs?
I think we're going to get some resolution in February on all these lawsuits. I think we're going to get it. I think they're going to definitely trade him. They've made no attempt to kind of play nice with him, so they're definitely going to trade him. They probably feel like Davis Mills could be their guy, build around him. I don't know if David Culley's safe and down there. You know, I don't know. I mean, now that Flores is out there with Nick Cesario, go after Flores to replace David Culley, I could see that. You know, so I don't know if he's still safe. I mean, Monday became the ones that the organizations have made decisions of before the end of the year. Obviously, this decision on Flores was made sometime before Christmas, or else they wouldn't have executed it this quickly.
Correct.
Like, this decision was made that. Same in Chicago, same in Minnesota, same in Denver. But I think these other places, I think there needs to be an autopsy done of the season before they render a decision.
Yeah.
But I think the Watson thing is certainly going to be in play. Now, I don't know if it's going to be in play with the Dolphins, because I can't see the Dolphins giving up assets to get him when they still believe in the quarterback.
Yeah, well, and we'll let you go. We've gone real long here, but like so we've whiffed on a lot of young offensive linemen to this point. How in the hell do we turn around and let Chris Greer go, hey, let me get another run at this thing? I'm like, how many more runs do we let him have? You were the one that told me something really interesting in the last month. Like, certain positions you just didn't draft well at. And maybe start looking and going, Chris, you need to let somebody else do this, because you can't do it. You're a nice guy, but you can't do it.
Well, I mean, now that they're going to be collaborative, that'll work out. You know, everybody's going to have a voice in the organization. They're going to sing Kumbaya every morning when they come into work, and things will be fine.
Can't wait to see who that offensive line guru is at the team at that point. Michael, thank you for your time as always. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Michael.
Bye-bye.
All right, that was Odyssey NFL Insider Michael Lombardi. Insider calls brought to you by Driveway.com. Head to Driveway.com today to shop more than 25,000 new and used cars in Driveway's nationwide inventory. You can also hear Michael on the GM Shuffle. It's his weekly podcast, available on the Odyssey app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.